Back together again, you and I chatting it up, wrapping up a very busy week, Friday, May 8th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today. We were talking about former New Britain Mayor Aaron Stewart's decision not to participate in a Republican gubernatorial debate in Farmington the previous night. We also welcome Republican gubernatorial candidate Ryan Fazio to the show to talk about his participation along with Betsy McCoy's in that debate. Finally, Republican State Senate member Rob Sampson, 16th District, including Waterbury, wraps up the General Assembly session from his point of view. Yes. To debate or not debate? Yes, that may be the question here for the first part of the program on this Friday, carrying into the weekend right here on Connecticut Today. How are you? To debate or not debate? I love political debates. Over the years, I was trying to think back before we strapped in and got all up and underway here and we kicked it off. I think I have been a questioner in, I think, two debates. There may have been a third one in there somewhere that I'm not remembering properly. But I was a panelist and a questioner years ago, like, I don't know, 35, 40 years ago. For a mayoral debate in West Haven, I remember being on that panel. I did not host it. I didn't moderate it. I think I got asked to do it because I was doing regular non-talk stuff. I was an unbiased newsman back then. They said, hey, you want to do this? And it was on a low-power FM station. I'm sorry, a low-power TV station that I don't even think exists anymore. Wow. I think this was, at one time, there was a Channel 28.
Yeah, right. Jeez, Paul, I never heard of that.
I think it was in, well, it was for the West Haven mayor's race. So ostensibly, the channel was somewhere in West Haven. I'll have to look at that on the break. So I did that. Then a bunch of years later, I was a questioner and a host and an MC for a radio debate between then Lieutenant Governor M. Jody Rell and, boy, who was her? I think it was George Jepson, I think. My God, I forgot who ran against her. Kevin Sullivan, George Jepson, one of those names, whatever. And we did it in the radio studios. And it was fine. So my point is, I've always liked debates. I like doing them. I think that even though the answers are pretty much canned and these candidates have gone through mock debates over and over again, and I've helped people prep for debates, too, when I was working for a couple of campaigns. So we know what that is. And the reason I bring this up is there was a Republican gubernatorial debate last night. Outside of Hartford at another station up there, one of my former employers, I'd have to say. where haven't I worked? And two of the three candidates showed up. Former Republican State Senate member Ryan Fazio of Greenwich and Betsy McCoy, former Lieutenant Governor of New York, currently a Newsmax host. And you probably can see the stories here. It's being written up all over. And it is pointed out here, whether you're following this or not, and in the Connecticut Mirror story by Mark Pazniokas, Aaron Stewart didn't show up. And although that has been mentioned when covering her campaign in the mainstream media and in these microsites, it's also becoming a little bit, and again, this is not necessarily where I stand on this, but I have a question for you. This is kind of a point of contention here between some Republican voters in the state, some delegates to the convention who want to see debates between all three of the major candidates, Ryan Fazio, Aaron Stewart, and Betsy McCoy, and some who would rather not see them, figuring, hey, let's get through the convention. Let's not get messy here. Let's not do the Democrats' job for them. And then there is the old adage that if you've ever talked to anybody in politics or you've ever talked to anyone who's ever run for office, and part of the sage advice sometimes people get from these consultants and these campaign managers is, if you think you're in front, or you know you're in front, and you don't have to debate, don't do it. Because if you are leading, or at least the perception among the insiders is that yes, you are in front, what's the purpose of debating? Now, a lot of Republican insiders that I chat with and that you read on these forums on Facebook and Meta and all these other platforms, a lot of them are upset that at least to this point, Erin Stewart, the former governor of New Britain, who wants to be the Republican gubernatorial nominee, she's battling Betsy McCoy and Ryan Fazio, at least at this point, the notion is that she does not want to debate. And I think she has said that, well, no, there are party people telling her not to debate, whatever. I don't know whether that's deflection or not. But this is just speaking for me, your little, you know, inoffensive 2 to 6 Monday through Friday talk show host. I wonder if that helps or hurts her. Or that helps, I should say, with an S ball. If that helps or hurts her. Because it really is a double-edged sword. If you have a good night and you're good on your feet, you're good with your answers, you're pithy, shall we say, you exchange jabs and barbs, but you keep it light, you get the audience laughing a little bit, you can get your other opponents laughing a little bit, it can do you well. But man, if you screw it up, if you say something that doesn't connect with a policy, or if you're forced to answer things like the controversy over the New Britain tax collector's office and the supposed controversy over whether or not she wanted a partial pension, which the city charter in New Britain doesn't allow for, then you can get in trouble. Then you're like opening yourself up. So you may ask, where are you heading with this, Paul? Very simple question I have here. Coming off of the fact that in Farmington last night, Ryan Fazio showed up. Betsy McCoy showed up. Erin Stewart didn't. Now, I would imagine at this point, the only people who would really be, I don't know, upset with this, frosted off at this, whatever, might be the real party wonks, the inside gaggle of geese there that are really following this. But I want to get your thought on this. At 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Now, you can read the stories. They're out there. Erin Stewart, who many people consider the front runner here. I'm sure she's the front runner. At least I would take a good guess that she is over Betsy McCoy. I think she does lead Ryan Fazio, but I don't think it's that much, and there's still a boatload of time left here. But my question is, are you less likely to vote for a political candidate who won't take part in party debates? Now, understand, these are party debates now. And I don't know whether the governor is going to debate Josh Elliott or not. If I was the governor, why would I? Again, you're in the big chair. You're the big cheese. Why set yourself up to screw up? And maybe that's what Erin Stewart is thinking about right now. But are you less likely? I'm not saying the answer might be no, but would you be less likely to vote for a political candidate? It doesn't necessarily mean Republican or Democrat, but would you be less likely to vote for a candidate who will not take part in party debates? And this is something that Erin Stewart is catching a little grief for, and I'm working on getting her on the show. Hopefully we can do that next week. But you tell me, the debate participation at this stage of a race, pre-convention, you may say, well, Paul, let's just wait till the people are nominated and then we can go forth. But again, you may have debates leading up to a primary. What do you think? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Is the refusal to participate in a debate, even at this stage, is that a non-starter for you? Yeah, this November will mark 100 years. Not too shabby, huh? A lot of things come, a lot of things go. WICC celebrating our 100th year. coming up this November, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. So in Farmington last night, Betsy McCoy showed up, Ryan Fazio showed up, Aaron Stewart didn't. And I guess the buzz is that she feels, oh, I don't know, let me track back here. The buzz would be that the notion is that you hear from political experts that if you're leading, why go somewhere and do something that could only hurt you? And the chances are that it hurts you more than you help, that it helps you. Ryan Fazio took apparently a not-so-veiled shot, maybe, at Aaron Stewart not being there. I'll tell you what he said momentarily. But the question I start with today here at 203-333-9422, are you less likely, doesn't say you won't here, that's why I worded it that way, are you less likely to vote for any candidate who won't take part in party debates? Now, if there is a debate post the convention, which is coming up in 2 weeks, I can't see her saying no to that, but who knows? We'll pick it up, kick it off right now with Joe in Stratford. Joe, you're on WICC. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, what do you got?
So, personally, I would be less likely to vote for her simply because I want those issues to come out in the primary so that fodder isn't sitting there when it is versus the other candidate. So, truthfully, I'm independent, and it's one of those things where if I do like her as a candidate, not getting that out now in a primary when she is more likely to still kind of survive it means that they, and the, in the general election, that's something that they, she can be hammered with. So I like all of that issues to come out so that way it's not ammo sitting there.
So that, but it's not, what you're saying is, Joe, it's not a complete non-starter, but you don't like the look of it on his face. Is that right?
That's right. And it's because, like, to me, it just makes her less likely to win in the general because she hasn't been vetted in that way.
All right. So are you open? I think you said, are you registered with either party, can I ask?
I'm registered Democrat just because I always want to vote in a primary, but I have voted both ways, yes.
Okay. All right. So you're keeping an open mind about November?
Yes.
All right. Cool. Joe, thank you. Appreciate it there. Joe in Stratford. Good to hear from him. So I guess there was one not-so-veiled shot last night at Aaron Stewart that came from Ryan Fazio. According to the transcript here in the Connecticut Mirror, he said, quote, Ryan Fazio did. In fact, I sent him a message today. I don't know whether he can get back to me today, but I texted him right before the show. He said, quote, I think debates and questions like you just asked are important for our candidates for governor to answer in an extemporaneous way with no notes. He continued, quote, because in order for us to defeat Governor Ned Lamont and chart a better course for our state, we're going to have someone who can stand up on the stage with him and in front of the media day after day and answer those hard questions. So you can see, and listen, candidates do this all the time. They poke and they prod each other all the time. But the opening part of this, I think debates and questions like you just asked are important for our candidates for governor to answer in an extemporaneous way with no notes. Yeah, that's another thing, too. If, and again, I am in no way, shape, or form, in fact, I won't even say this is about Aaron Stewart or Ryan Fazio or Betsy McCoy. But I have had people in the media get back to me years and years and years ago when I was working for a couple of campaigns, and we'd be talking about scheduling, and I can remember, let's just say, one media member who spoke to one candidate, and that media member telling me, hey, I had a sit-down with so-and-so last week. I said, how did that go? And this person said, I can't believe he slash she slash they were reading off index cards during the
interview.
I said, wait a minute. While you were in the studio? And this person says, yeah. I said, no, 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 no. Don't tell me they were reading off index cards. And he said, yeah. So there you go. And please, there's no way I'm inferring that Aaron Stewart is what I like to call an index card candidate. But the question still, you know, it's out there. And you see now from our first caller there, Joe, who said, no, he does take that into account, even though it's early, even though the convention isn't until the 16th. And even though just about everybody thinks it'll be a two-way primary. But still, people want to see that kind of stuff now. So again, I ask you on the outset today, are you a bit less likely to vote for a candidate who will not take part in any party debates? All right, we march on right here on WICC. We welcome to the program here, Republican State Senate member Ryan Fazio participated in one of the two Republicans in that debate last night in Farmington, at another one of my former employers. And Ryan joins us now. Ryan, how are you, man?
I'm great, Paul. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, let me ask you something. First of all, where did the Clark Kent thing come from? I mean, somebody had to say that first, and there was a big story about that. When did you become dubbed the Clark Kent of the General Assembly?
I mean, I think at this point on the campaign trail, I hear it once a day. but not, believe it or not, the first people ever to call me Clark Kent are Superman or these kids in the Bronx that I used to tutor when I was in my 20s Saturday morning as a volunteer.
Yeah.
And that's actually the first people who ever called me Clark Kent or Superman, all the kids I used to tutor. I guess it's become much more popularized 10 years since.
There you go. Now, before we get to the campaign, are you still State Senator Ryan Fazio technically, or did you relinquish that title when the gavel fell the other night after everybody was snoozing? Have you relinquished that or not?
No, I like all 35 other senators, I am the senator until January, filling out my two-year term.
Nice.
Of course, the legislative session, as your listeners know, just ended this Wednesday, fortunately.
Yeah.
that means if there's a special session or anything else, that I'll still be on duty.
Excellent. All right, let's talk about last night, Ryan. And the buzz of the coverage was it was you, it was Betsy McCoy, and a third person in the race did not show up. I am efforting maybe getting her on and Ms. McCoy on later to talk about this next week now. But what are your thoughts on A, the debate format last night, and B, how you think it went?
Well, I think it was an excellent debate. The WTIC was extremely professional. They asked very policy-oriented questions, deep questions about the state of the state and the direction that we want to take it in. And I really compliment Reese, Morgan, and Brian for the job they did. And I'm so appreciative that we did it. I even think that even though she's my rival, I think that Betsy did a very good job. And I really enjoyed the debate. I think it's important that Republican voters see and hear that their candidates can stand on a debate stage and discuss policy in depth with no notes, no teleprompter, and present their vision for the state. Because guess what? They're going to have to do that on a debate stage with Ned Lamont, and it's not going to be as easy as doing it with other Republicans. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to do it in front of the media day in and day out, who often can be tough on Republicans. Mm-hmm. So it's really more of the job interview process than anything else. And so, you know, if a Republican's not going to stand on the debate stage before the convention for the benefit of delegates, I think that's problematic.
Do you think that there will have to be, Ryan, full participation by any Republican, you and maybe Betsy and Aaron, who get the 15%, who qualify for a primary? Can you envision either one of those, if it's a two or three person primary coming up, not wanting to debate?
Well, I certainly hope not. I've called for five debates, one in each congressional district before the convention, and five primary debates, one in each district before the primary as well. I think more is better. Again, it's not about going up against each other. It's about standing on a stage on the same setting, answering similar or the same questions, you know, without notes, without a teleprompter, and showing that you're comfortable and able to articulate our message as Republicans for the betterment of the state, because you're going to have to do that against Governor Lamont, who's been doing the job for the last 8 years. And you're going to have to do that in front of the media at press conferences every week, and it's going to be tough. So I think that it would be beneficial to the Republican primary voter. It would be more informative for them for this to happen.
Republican State Senate member and declared Republican gubernatorial candidate Ryan Fazio with us. Ryan, do you buy into the narrative that I hear from so many people online and on this show? Well, he's got no shot. Fazio's got no shot. Aaron Stewart's got no shot. Betsy McCoy's got no shot. Look at Ned Lamont. Everybody loves him. You buy into that or not? Or is he maybe a little more vulnerable now, especially in light of some of the last poll numbers, than people think?
Exactly right. I don't believe in lost causes. I wouldn't be running this race if I did not think that we can win. Mm-hmm. And I think we have the better chance than we did 4 years ago, certainly, and even 8 years ago. I think that running for a third term is difficult unless you have a reason to justify it. Mm-hmm. This governor doesn't have a message. He says he wants to run for governor for a third term to make the state affordable. Well, if only he knew the person in charge of the state for the last 8 years, and that person could have done something about it, because this state is extraordinarily unaffordable and has become more so under his watch. So I think the advantage that the governor might have for incumbency is going to be less than it was 4 years ago. And as you said, as you mentioned, his latest approval ratings have fallen below 50% for the second straight reading. And particularly his disapproval rating on cost of living and economic issues has increased above 60%. And that's the most important issue to voters. And that's the issue that I can articulate to the public better than anyone else.
Ryan, finally, and you've had a bird's eye view of this, being in the General Assembly for the time you have. I always, you know, my head explodes on this show, and then the cleaning up, then the cleaning people have to clean it all up, whatever. But after my head explodes, I mean, Ryan, look, I've been in the state a good long time. We're always playing catch up here. We're always patching a hole in this or fixing a crack in that and doing this in emergency. From what you, and I know you don't want to bury people you work with up there, but what is it about us, whether it's energy policy or long-term infrastructure, stuff like this, what is the problem with us getting out in front of stuff and doing what other states do? Hey, here's a 10-year plan. Here's a 15-year plan. And gosh darn it, we're going to stick with that. Why do we hardly ever see that out of Hartford?
Well, the people in Hartford believe that government is the solution to the problem. They're wrong. Government is the problem in Connecticut. Government has gotten bigger and more expensive. And the answer for the people in charge who failed the state and made the state more expensive is always to double down on the mistakes of the past. And that's exactly what Governor Lamont and the state legislature continue to do. In the past term, they raised taxes on Connecticut. They increased spending by 8% year over year. Even though Connecticut residents want tax relief, they want a lower cost of living, they want more affordability. And we're going to run this race on delivering a real break from the mistakes of the past, of the mistakes of the Lamont administration, who ran for governor promising to cut taxes, but has raised taxes by hundreds of millions of dollars on Connecticut residents. It is not that difficult to provide tax cuts and moderate spending. It is not that difficult to cut electric rates and reduce the public benefits charge. But the people in charge support big government. They believe in centralized control and all the taxes and expenses that come along with that. We're going to offer a very clear and substantive break from the mistakes of the Lamont administration. And I think that is a winning alternative.
Ryan Fazio, running for governor, Republican State Senate member, Greenwich. Ryan, thanks, and we shall be talking in the coming weeks, my friend. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Anytime.
All right, appreciate it. There he is, Ryan Fazio, who still technically is the Republican State Senate member from the beautiful town of Greenwich. And as I say, I am efforting getting Betsy McCoy and or Aaron Stewart on the program next week. All right, the dust is still settling. The broken glass is getting cleaned up. the plaster that may have fallen off the ceiling of the General Assembly. I'm kidding. Everybody is, I guess, friendly up there, but it does get a little heated. But that's done now. We now head toward the primaries, the conventions coming up this weekend, Election Day, and then the long legislative session coming up after the first of the year. To recap what he thought about this session, a guy who likes to get in as much debate as possible, Republican 16th District State Senator Rob Sampson, representing portions thereof or all of Cheshire Prospect, Southington, Wolcott, and Waterbury. Rob, good afternoon, my friend. Welcome back. How are you?
I am doing well, Paul. Finally catching back up on my sleep. Thanks for having me.
You know, Rob, I was going to tell you, and in all seriousness, this is something I rant about. And I know, Rob, I mentioned this about evening out the, you know, going 5 months and 5 months, whatever, or I even brought up one day about going to a, you know, a full-time legislature. I got screamed at that. But Rob, you know, and I understand you guys and gals have to go by the rules that are there. But Rob, you know, you and I, we wouldn't want an accountant doing our taxes at 3 a.m. We wouldn't want a heart surgeon saying, hey, I'm going to do your bypass at 3 a.m. Rob, I don't know how you feel about it, but it just drives me nuts when uber important stuff is done in this state by you and the other 100 and change people up there. And yet you're expected to do it at 3 and 4 a.m. I don't know about you, Rob, but it must drive you crazy because I know it would make my head explode.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And it turns out that this year the Democratic majority did not take the old adage that the short session is really a cleanup session very seriously. They decided to take some big agenda items and put them on their schedule. And, you know, every year the Democrats move their agenda a little bit more or a little bit less. Mm-hmm. And I have to just say that this year they took some big chunks.
Okay.
You have the homeschooling bill, which is a direct interference with the rights of parents. It's about homeschooling, but it's also about private schooling. And it's also a message that the government wants to take control of what the decision making is for your children. And in fact, the whole point of that homeschool bill was parent managed learning instead of parent directed learning, as if the government is in charge of kids.
Mm-hmm.
You take the vaccine bill. That is less about vaccines and more about the notion that the government is going to make medical decisions for you and for your children. And then, of course, you have the gun control, you have the election bill. But to your point, they wanted to jam it all in. And despite our best efforts in the minority, talking and trying to put them into a smaller and smaller box so they have less things they can accomplish as we get close to the end, they just said, you know what, we'll stay there indefinitely.
Yeah.
So around 10 o'clock on Tuesday night, we were in pretty good shape. But they were like, no, we're going to just stay here through the night and do the bill. So I ended up having to debate the gun control bill from about 3 a.m. to around 7:30. And then they and believe it or not, Paul, they wanted to immediately roll into the giant 75-section, 100-plus page election bill afterwards. It's crazy.
I mean, Rob, you don't have, not you or I, but people don't have, you meaning the public, you don't have to be a political wonk or a policy wonk to again say, what are we doing here? But I guess, you know, short, Rob, of evening out the sessions or saying midnight is the deadline on any night, this is what it is, right? Or tell me this could change someday.
Yeah, well, I mean, the issue really is that the majority is not feeling any desire for accountability. They have no shame, frankly. They don't think that the people of Connecticut are concerned about it. I mean, they should be. I would be concerned if I was in their shoes, but they think that they can get away with doing it, so they're going to continue to do so until someone says otherwise. My good friend Joe Markley coined the term vampire legislation.
I got a call, Joe.
And that's what I refer to. Anything that passes after midnight is probably questionable, to say the least.
That is so Joe. I got to give him a call on that one. That's good. Hey, Rob, I have a different take on this homeschooling thing. And you probably won't agree with it, but I looked at this stuff and they left curriculum alone. And they eventually said, and I explained it to people, I read it word for word, saying, hey, it's a once-a-year thing, and you just have to say whether it's a parochial school or a homeschooling or a public school, what better. And, Rob, I wonder, and you tell me whether you think I'm nuts or not, I wonder whether part of this is money and part of this is DCF, meaning if we get an actual hard count on people that are homeschooling their kids, right? Because, again, from what I understand, we don't have a real hard count. If they get that, then they can say, hey, here's 2,000 kids, Rob, that are not in the public school system, times what do we spend, $23,000 a year, $24,000? Well, Rob Sampson, what do you care about, you know, all that money that's not going into the public school thing? And I wonder if the DCF thing, Rob, the way they worded it in the end, is that a shot across the bow at DCF a little bit? Like, hey, you better have these cases flagged the right way, because if not, you're up you know what creek. You think there are any alternative reasons here or not in looking at that?
Well, I think there's several motives behind the legislation. And clearly you didn't see my debate on the Senate floor, because you'd be agreeing with me if you had. The big issue with the bill is that they are treating homeschool parents different than any other parents, public school parents, and even private school parents. So if you want to take your kid out of public school and send them to private school, you have to go check in at the school as a parent and say, I'm pulling my kid out, they're going to private school, here's your form. If you want to take your kid out and homeschool them, it's not so simple. Now the superintendent has to do a check, and then they have to get approval from DCF, who has got to go ahead and say that you are acceptable to homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of the traditional understanding of government in America, where the government works for the people and the government is directed by the people, in this case the parents, to accommodate their wishes, now you have to, as a parent, you have got to get approval from the government to be able to homeschool your kid. And I just can't abide by that.
Mm-hmm.
But your concerns about DCF, the thing is, it looks to me like they're protecting DCF here. Mm-hmm. There is no effort in this legislative session to put more accountability on them. There's been no effort to have more accountability for the many thousands of truant kids that are already existing in the state. And as far as money goes, the fact of the matter is that school districts are already getting paid for kids that are being homeschooled. If the numbers of homeschooled kids actually are revealed completely, there may be an argument to reduce that funding. So I think it's the exact opposite.
Okay. And Rob, finally, the cell phone bill kind of fascinated me. Every so often you get these bills that seem to have, well, we know it passed the House. A lot of people in your chamber were saying, oh, this is great. I've talked to teachers. They love this. Even the governor, Rob, championed this in one of his addresses, almost saying, hey, I want this. Let's do it. It doesn't get a vote. And you read a lot of the language here as to why, you know, in the Mirror and in the News Junkie and in Hearst and in the Current. And I mean, it's weird. You get this kind of verbal twister here. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know in the end why the majority did not attempt to run that bill. I am very, very informed in the last several days on what the majority is attempting to do. In fact, I get to have a little say in, pushing back on, well, maybe you can get away with doing this one or maybe not doing this one.
Yeah.
That is something that never even came to me. They never even broached this subject, which means that I don't think that the Senate Democrats had any desire to do that bill at all.
Really?
And frankly, I was not in favor of it, although I like the concept. My wife happens to be a teacher.
Okay.
But she teaches in a school district where it's actually up to the individual school. The principal decides what the policy is.
Yeah.
And for me, if you're somebody who stands for local control, then you should stand for local control. I don't think there should be a one-size-all cookie-cutter solution. The fact of the matter is, some teachers make benefit of kids actually having access to a cell phone in the classroom, for certain lessons and so forth. I think that it should be a teacher-decided situation in most cases, or at least a school-based, decision. You know, because I represent Waterbury and I represent Wilkett. These are not even close to the same thing when it comes to education. And I just don't like these one-size-fits-all policies.
All right, great stuff. Rob Sampson, go get some rest. Rob Sampson, 16th District Republican State Senate member, as he mentioned. Wolcott, Waterbury, Southington, Prospect, Cheshire, and more. Hey, Rob, thanks. Appreciate it, man. Have a good weekend.
Thank you so much for having me. Right. Keep up the great work, Paul.
Appreciate it, Rob. Thank you. Thanks for the kind words.